إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في القول على الله به بلا علم باب ما جاء في القول على الله بلا علم. The chapter with regards to that which has come about speaking about Allah without knowledge, meaning the clarification of the impermissibility of this and the dangers of this, and that is from the major sins. The chapter with regards to that which has come from speaking about Allah without knowledge. The people of knowledge have mentioned that this is from the most severe and the worst of all sins. Rather, they have mentioned that al-qawlu 'ala Allahi bila 'ilm bawabatu kulli sharrin wa dhalal. Bawabatun li kulli sharrin wa dhalal. That to speak about Allah without knowledge, this is the gateway to every evil and misguidance. The gateway to every evil and every misguidance. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue here of speaking about Allah without knowledge. He said, وَهُوَ أَصْلُ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَهُوَ أَصْلُ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَعَلَيْهِ أُسِّسَتِ الْبِدَعُ وَالضَّلَالَاتِ. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, that speaking about Allah without knowledge is the foundation of shirk and disbelief. It's the foundation, yani the base, the foundation of polytheism and paganism, associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And likewise, it's the foundation of disbelief. It's the foundation of disbelief. And every misguidance, every innovation, and every misguidance is based upon this affair here. Every misguidance and every innovation is based upon this affair here. Speaking about Allah without knowledge. فَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ مُضِلَّةٍ فِي الدِّينِ أَسَاسُهَا الْقَوْلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِلَا عِلْمٍ فَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ مُضِلَّةٍ فِي الدِّينِ أَسَاسُهَا الْقَوْلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِلَا عِلْمٍ. So every misguided innovation in the religion, the foundation of that and its fundamental base where it proceeds from is to speak about Allah without knowledge. Is to speak about Allah without knowledge. So this is from the most dangerous of affairs and the most severe of all sins. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. An ayah. The author, he says, and the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. That say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Lord, he has only declared to be impermissible. He has only made forbidden al-fawahish. Al-fawahish, the actions of indecency, the actions of evil, and those sins that are severe and at the peak of foulness and the peak of evil, they're called fawahish. From that, fornication, and from that, homosexuality, and from that, likewise, the sins of the heart, like arrogance and pride, and also like envy and jealousy and animosity and the likes like this for the believers and hatred for the righteous. All of this is from the fawahish. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. That which is apparent from that and that which is hidden. The author, he says, الْآيَةَ, meaning أَكْمِلْ الْآيَةَ, into the end of the verse. until the end of the verse. So this verse here is mentioned, and in what is intended, the entire verse. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is called, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse here, He ordered His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform the people. Say to them that my Lord, He has only made impermissible and forbidden al-fawahish, that which is apparent from that and that which is, and that which is hidden, that which is apparent from that and that which, and that which is hidden. And we have discussed this affair. The fawahish is the most evil and disgusting of sins. That which is apparent from that, meaning that which is performed outwardly, that the people see, and that which is known, and the likes like this, and from the outward actions, like the fornication and the homosexuality, and other than that, stealing and murder. This is all from the sins that are severely foul, and they're disgusting, and at the peak of evil, and at the peak of sin, and the likes, and also that which is hidden from that, meaning that which a person he will keep private, or that which he conceals in his heart, from the major sins of the heart, from the major sins of the heart, from arrogance and pride and jealousy and being amazed with oneself and the likes like this. The verse continues after this, moving on to the next level. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and sin and transgression without right, and sin and transgression without right. Sin and transgression, yani sin and ithm, is the actions of disobedience and with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeying Him and not fulfilling His rights, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which land a person in sin, and that which would taint his soul with the blemish of sin and disobedience and the likes like this. This would cause him to fall into sin. And likewise, al-baghiya is to transgress the rights of others, to transgress the rights of others, and need to take their rights unlawfully in their property or in their wealth or in their reputation and their honor and the likes like this, to violate the rights of the people. So what is being prohibited here is that which is specific to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inwardly and outwardly, that which is related to the heart and that which is related to the limbs and body parts. And likewise, the actions that are forbidden and impermissible with regards to the rights of the slaves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on after this. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and that you associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning in worship, and that which He did not reveal any authority, meaning that which there's no proof for, no evidence, and meaning that it's not allowed whatsoever to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And this is from the most severe of all sins, the sin that the one who performs it, and he did not repent from that before he dies, then he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, that Allah, He does not forgive that associates are set up in worship with Him, that partners are set up in worship with Him, but He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. And this is the case here. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that Allah is moving from the lowest to the most severe, from the sins. Mentioning here the sins here with regards to the fawahish and the indecency. No doubt these are major sins. And then likewise after that, the actions of disobedience with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and violating the rights of the servants, becoming even more severe. And then after that, even more severe than all of that, to associate partners with Allah in worship. To associate partners with Allah in worship. But then after that, Allah, He mentioned, closing this context, وَأَنْتَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and this is the evidence here for the author, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned and derived from this verse here and in this context how these sins are mentioned first. This issue here at فَوَاحِشْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and then after that, and وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, which is greater than that. So beginning, meaning starting with the lower level of sin, moving to the greater level of sin and severity, and then closing off this context, وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know, mentioning that this is the most severe of all sins, the most severe of all sins. And that is because it's the foundation of shirk. And shirk, it only occurs because of people saying about Allah that which they do not know. So shirk is a specific aspect of speaking about Allah without knowledge. And speaking about Allah without knowledge, it includes many affairs. Some of them are shirk, and others are disbelief, and others are innovation, and others are sin, and lesser than that. So the issue of speaking about Allah without knowledge is a major realm and a major affair. And not all of it is shirk, and not all of it is disbelief, but shirk and disbelief and innovation proceeds from here. So this is from the greatest affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has declared to be impermissible. He has declared to be impermissible. So many mafasid and so many ills come from that. And it's sufficient that we have seen that it's the foundation of shirk. And that's the foundation of disbelief. And that's the foundation of innovation and the likes like this. These affairs, they only occur because of speaking about Allah without knowledge. And ascribing to the religion of Allah that which is not from it. And ascribing to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which is not from it. And so this is a major affair. Likewise, it would suffice to know that this is from the steps of shaitan and that which he calls to. And that which he orders and he commands. And we have been forbidden, and we have been ordered to avoid and stay away from the steps of shaitan and to not follow them. We have been ordered to stay away from the footsteps of shaitan and to not follow them, and to not even come near to his path and his way, and his filthy and evil way, and to know that he is an enemy, a clear enemy. Allah, he says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, indeed, he is an enemy to you, a clear enemy. Verily, indeed, he is a clear enemy to you. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And shaitan, he only orders you with evil and indecency, vulgarness, and foul and wicked sins, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. So this is from the footsteps of shaitan. And a believer, he should be cautious about this affair. And it occurs in a number of ways. From that is to ascribe to the religion of Allah that which is not from it. Any from his religion or his attributes or his names, or saying that this is permissible or impermissible, all of this is included here. For this reason, many of the Salaf and the scholars of Hadith, they would be very cautious whenever they would speak about the religion of Allah, and that they would say that this action here is halal, or this action here is haram, or this item here, or this food here, or this deed here, and the likes like this, or this statement here, so on and so forth. This halal is permissible, and this one is haram and impermissible. Even to the extent the likes of Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he would not even say the word haram, and others before him likewise. And we have the masala in Usul al-Fiqh that al-Qudama kanu yakuluni nakrahu kada wa kada. They would say that we dislike this and that. But the scholars, they have clarified that whenever the early generations of scholars, they would say that they would use the word karaha. That is dislike. They're not intending dislike, meaning what they're intending is that it is haram and impermissible. So whenever the early generation of scholars, they mention something is makruh, generally what is intended by that is that it is haram. But this is from their piety and their righteousness that they would stay away and they would avoid using that word, haram, this is haram, in the deen of Allah. Rather, they would say that it's makruh. Or Imam Ahmad, he would say, لا يعجبني هذا أو أكره هذا. He said, I don't like that. Or he will say that this is something that is disliked and the likes like this. But the people of knowledge have clarified by gathering all of his statements and his positions with regards to certain issues, that whenever he will say he dislikes something, that what is intended by that is he believes that it's haram. So, and he later on, no doubt, after the Mustalahat had become established, there's the rulings. Whenever the later generation of scholars, they say makruh, that means it's not haram, but is disliked. The one who left it for the sake of Allah, he has a reward, and the one who performed it, yani, he does not have a sin. Yani, but just to clarify the extent of the salaf, that they would be cautious about this affair, that they would not claim that this is halal and this is haram. It's not easy for them. They used to magnify the rights of Allah, the sacred rights of the religion, and the commandments and the ordainments and the prescribed rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would not take it lightly. And this is because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَسِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. Allah, he says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَسِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Do not say with your tongues lying, that with your tongues lying. Do not say what you describe, yani with your tongues lying, this is halal and this is haram, to fabricate a lie against Allah. Indeed, those who fabricate lies against Allah, they will never be successful. So the issue here of saying that something is halal or something that is haram, this is a major affair. The issue of saying that this is a legislated action of worship and this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a major affair. Ascribing it to the religion of Allah azza wa jal, anything, whether it's to the deen of Allah directly or to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the deen of Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, all of this is something major that a believer, he should not embark upon except with knowledge. And he should not embark upon except with certainty. And he should know what he is talking about whenever he speaks about the religion of Allah. And if he ever does not know, or he's not certain, he says, Wallahu a'lam, la adri, I don't know. Ask somebody else. And we used to learn this from our teachers in Al-Madinah, alhamdulillah, specifically Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. He would say that many times. Even sometimes you would hear questions asked in the gathering that maybe one of us would think that we read the issue or we discussed the issue and we might know the answer, and the Shaykh, he would say, I don't know, ask somebody else, or I don't know, go to the courts and ask about this affair. And especially if it was related to divorce and the likes like that, and to marriage, he would always refer these affairs to the courts, and he would say, I don't know. Or if he was asked about the issues, I remember specifically many times, if he was asked about organ donating and the likes like this. And the scholars, they have fatwa in these affairs. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah spoke about these affairs. And the people of Najd, they spoke about these affairs. But Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he would not speak about these affairs. He would say, La uhsinu hadha. And I don't know this affair here. Ask somebody else. Ask somebody else besides me. So this is actually a good way and a beneficial way that if a person, he has some knowledge, he will speak about it. But if he does not, then he will be silent. He says, I do not know. So from the mafasid and the evils that come about by speaking about Allah without knowledge, there are many. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned a number of them, rahimahullah, in his book, Madarij al-Salikin, in the first volume on page 574. On page 574, I summarized them. He said, Al-Qawlu ala Allahi bi ghayri ilmin yatadhammanu al-kadhiba ala Allah. يَتَضَمَّنُوا الْكَذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. First and foremost, and this is proceeding from the previous chapter, that to speak about Allah without knowledge, this consists of lying on Allah. So this one is a bit different than the previous chapter. The previous chapter was الْكَذِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning somebody was straight up lying. Somebody was straight up lying on Allah Azza wa Jal, and a lie on the religion. He's lying intentionally. He's lying intentionally. And we have seen likewise the one who narrates the lies as well. Even if he didn't lie, he's included in that. He's included in that. Yani for narrating that while he knows that it's a lie, or he believes that it's a lie. But what is intended here is to speak about Allah without knowledge, meaning the person, he's not intending to lie. The person, he's not intending to straight up lie on Allah, but in reality, that's what he's doing. This is the outcome of that affair. The outcome of speaking about Allah without knowledge is that the person, he will wind up lying on Allah and ascribing to Allah that which is not correct, and ascribing to his religion that which is not from it, and the likes like this. So this is from the worst of all, the worst of all affairs. Likewise, it consists of nisbatahu ila ma la yaliqu bihi. Also, it consists of any talking about Allah, speaking about Allah without knowledge, ascribing to Allah that which is not befitting for Him, ascribing to Allah that which is not befitting for Him, ascribing to Him partners, ascribing to Him a son, for example. The worst of all lies, from the worst of all lies, is to say that Allah, He has a son, to say that Allah, He has daughters. To say that Allah, he has intercessors, that he has intercessors in their lives like this, and that the graves intercede on behalf of the people for Allah Azza wa Jal, and the likes like this. All of this is falsehood in an evil way. All of this is ascribing a deficiency, weakness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He does not need any intercessors. Allah, He does not have any partners. He doesn't need anyone to intercede for Him, and the likes like this. It's not like the kings of the land, and the kings and the people of authority, they need intercessors because they don't know what's going on in their kingdom and the likes like this. But Allah, He knows everything and He sees everything and He has authority and command over everything. So this is from the most evil of ways, and this is the result of speaking about Allah without knowledge. Likewise, وَتَغْيِيرَ دِينِهِ وَتَبْدِيلَهُ, also changing his religion and changing it for something else. changing his religion and exchanging it for something else. When the people speak about when the people speak about Allah without knowledge, they speak about the religion of Allah without knowledge. In reality, what's happening is the religion is being changed, and that which they have innovated and that which they have introduced becomes in place of that, and the likes like this. And you will find that affair. Any of the people of knowledge from the Salaf, they used to say that no one introduced an innovation ila umita to sunnah, except for a sunnah would be removed because of that. So whenever an innovation is introduced into the religion, it's replacing and moving away the sunnah. It's replacing and moving away the sunnah. Just a very easy example: the innovation of people shaking hands after the prayer. Shaking hands is a good way. It's a way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not after the prayer. After the prayer, the thing to do with the hand, according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to make adhkar with the fingers. You need to count the adhkar, the tasbihat, and the tamhidah, and the likes with the fingers, not to shake hands. But whenever the people, they start shaking hands immediately, you'll find them, some of them, they do that. As soon as they make salam, they'll shake right and left like this, and some of them, they'll reach over, and then they leave off making tasbih with their hands. Instead of making tasbih and instead of making the adhkar, they have now replaced it with shaking hands. And the likes like this. How are Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Then they start talking about some worldly affairs and the likes like this, and the adhkar, they're lost. This is just one example. So the point is that this is from the means of removing the religion and doing away with it and exchanging it for something else. Instead of being upright and pious and holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in public and private, now some of them, they just wait one day and they celebrate and they party and they laugh and they joke, claiming that they love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ascribing to him the party, his birthday party and the likes like this. And this is all from that aspect of speaking about Allah without knowledge. Speaking about Allah without knowledge, introducing now these affairs, dancing in the masajid, dancing and laughing and joking and clapping the hands and who. All of this is from speaking about Allah without knowledge, and in reality, the religion is being replaced in this manner and changed. And this is a foul way. This is a foul and evil outcome. And now to the extent that many of them, they think that after these affairs like this and from the evils of this, for example, putting the graves in the masajid. Now in some of the lands, if the masjid doesn't have a grave in it, they have no respect for it. It's nothing for them. They're looking around, where's the grave at? This masjid doesn't have a grave in it. It has no concern for them. And until it becomes like it's nothing, and the likes like this. The religion has truly been, is being replaced in this manner. From the worst of those who speak about Allah without knowledge, the Rafi Allah, and you'll find them saying, call on Hussein, this is Tawheed. Call Ya Fatima, Aghithini, this is Urzuqini, like this, this is Tawheed. They'll say that, this is Tawheed. This is directly speaking about Allah without knowledge, and this is changing the religion and exchanging it for shirk, and from its very foundation. So he's mentioning these affairs here. Likewise, from the mafasid of speaking about Allah without knowledge, وَنَفْيَ مَا أَثْبَتَ وَإِثْبَاتَ مَا نَفَى وَتَحْقِيقَ مَا أَبْطَلَ وَإِبْطَلَ مَا حَقَقَ. And in the same manner, by speaking about Allah without knowledge, then in reality it's negating what Allah has affirmed and affirming what Allah has negated. And it is declaring to be truthful what Allah has declared to be falsehood, and to declare falsehood that which Allah has considered truth and has mentioned is true. And the likes like this. And he affirming the people have mentioned, for example, that Allah, he has hands, figuratively speaking. They say, bil majaz, and the likes like this. And then negated the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, He descends. They don't say He descends in a manner befitting His Majesty, like Hadith Sunnah. They say He descends figuratively speaking, meaning He really doesn't descend. It means something else. Or that Allah, He becomes angry. Oh, this means something else, that He wants to punish them. That Allah, He loves the believers. Oh, that means that Allah, He wants to reward them. Allah, He doesn't love and He doesn't hate. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what they say. And He doesn't descend, and He doesn't have a face, and He doesn't have hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means something else, figuratively speaking. So in reality, they wind up negating what Allah has affirmed. Allah has affirmed these affairs for Himself. And what do they do by speaking about Allah without knowledge? They negate that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has hands in a manner befitting His majesty. And He has a face in a manner befitting His majesty. And we hope to be from those who see His face, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember now some of those people who claim that Allah will not be seen. And they likewise, speaking about Allah without knowledge, that Allah will not be seen. And from the outcome of negating the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, from that is that they'll negate that Allah will be seen on the day of resurrection. That Allah will be seen on the day of resurrection. And in Jannah, the believers, they hope to see Allah Azza wa Jal. There was some student of knowledge. Yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned the likes of this Hafidhullah, who was claiming this affair. And he was upon this madhhab. And so one of the clever students, they was debating with him, and he said, okay, if this is the case, this is what you believe, then let's all right now raise our hands. All of us right now, let's raise our hands and let's make dua on the day of resurrection. If you're going to go to Jannah, you specifically, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, you will not see Allah. I'm going to make dua right now that so-and-so, he's not going to get to see Allah Azza wa Jalla ever in the hereafter. And all of you say, Ameen. What do you think he said now? He didn't like that. He didn't agree with that. He didn't want to go along with that. Yani, because even in a person's heart, yani, those who deny that, yani, they're not certain. They're not sure. They're upon misguidance. They're upon an evil way. But the point is, yani, the foulness and the foul outcome of what this affair leads to, speaking about Allah without knowledge, yani, that they negate that which Allah has affirmed. They negate that which Allah has affirmed. Allah, He affirmed these affairs for Himself. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshistawa. Allah, He affirmed that for Himself. So then we affirm that for Him in a manner befitting His majesty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. And so these things Allah, He affirmed in His book. And to speak about these issues without knowledge, winds up negating what He has affirmed. What the outcome of that is negating that which He has affirmed. Speaking about Allah without knowledge is a foul way. This is a foul way. And this also leads to, again, he says, وَعَدَاوَةَ مَنْ وَالَاهُ وَمُوَالَاةَ مَنْ عَادَاهُ. And then turn also leads to having enmity for those whom Allah has an allegiance with, and having an allegiance with those whom Allah, He has enmity with, and loving those whom Allah detests, and detesting those whom Allah loves, and describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bima la yaliku bihi fi dhatihi wa sifatihi wa aqwalihi wa af'alihi, and describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which is not befitting for Him in His essence and in His names and attributes and His actions subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is from the mafasid and the evils of speaking about Allah without knowledge. So therefore a believer, he will take this very cautiously. Allah, He says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Allah, He says, and do not speak about that which you do not have knowledge of. Do not follow up that which you have no knowledge of. Meaning, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Don't delve into that which you have no knowledge of. Why? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, it's a threat. Inna sam'a wal basara wa fu'ada kullu ulaihi kana anhu mas'ula. Because indeed, the eyes and the hearing and the eyes and the mind, all of this is going to be held to account. So a person, he'll be held accountable for what he says. And from the worst things he can say is something about his Lord without knowledge. And there's something about the religion of Allah without knowledge. Something about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without knowledge. This is such a dangerous affair. And this is something that's very common today. Many people, even in this week, I've received questions. People ask me questions about the ruling of such and such in traveling. And he had a whole misunderstanding about the ruling of traveling. And I said, where did you hear this from? He said, oh, I asked the brother at my work. The brother at his work told him, you can do this and this and this in traveling. And then another person in his masjid told him, you can do this and this and this in traveling. And the statements are wrong. And the issue is backwards. And it's not correct whatsoever. And the person, he's a new Muslim. And the likes like this, so he's excused. But the fact is that this is happening. People speaking about Allah, I mean, often it's easy these days. It's easy these days. Many people just talking about the religion of Allah without any knowledge, without any concern or any care, and just transmitting what they heard or what they thought, or what was known in their culture and custom. And many times that's what they transmit. Not the sunnah, but rather customs and cultures. And this is a foul and an evil way. This is a foul and an evil way. So the author, he says, now, قَالَ أَبُو مُوسَى مَنْ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا فَلْيُعَلِّمْهُ النَّاسِ وَإِيَّاهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ فَيَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ وَيَمْرُكُ مِنَ الدِّينَ. So he says now, قَالَ أَبُو مُوسَى أَبُو مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He says, "من علمه الله علما فيعلمه الناس." That whoever Allah has taught him some knowledge, then let him teach it to the people. That whoever Allah has taught him some knowledge, then let him teach it to the people. Meaning that if a person, he has sound knowledge and he knows that it's correct, and he sees his brothers and the likes in need of that knowledge, then he will advise them and he will direct them and he will teach them and the likes like this. Sometimes a person, maybe he's not a student of knowledge, or maybe he's not a great scholar, but he has a foundation and a fundamental understanding of his religion. And he knows that which is upright and correct with regards to the proper creed and belief. And likewise, performing the daily actions of worship, the tahara and the salah and the likes like this. He has sound knowledge of these affairs. And many of the Muslims, they do not. And if you were to see someone misguided in these affairs or upon something that is incorrect, then he will not leave them. And he will not leave them in misguidance or leave them upon a bad way or in error. Rather, he will teach them. And he will remind them, and he will advise them, and according to the knowledge that he knows. This is if he knows the subject, and he knows the issue and the ruling properly. Even more emphasized if he knows that ruling coupled with the evidence, which is even better and greater. But even if he knows the ruling certainly, and the likes like this, then he can advise the person and order him and tell him. For example, somebody came to a brother who he knows the ruling that you cannot pray without wudu. And if you pray without wudu, you have to repeat the prayer. But he doesn't know the hadith, or he doesn't know the ayah, he doesn't know the evidence, but he knows for certain that this is the ruling in Al-Islam. And some new Muslim came to him, for example, and said, "You know, I just prayed without wudu, I forgot. What should I do?" What would this brother do? Go ask somebody else. I'm not a scholar. I never sit with these people of knowledge. I don't have a tazkiyah from Sheikh so-and-so. What would he do? He would tell him, "Brother, no, the prayer is not accepted without, the prayer is not accepted without wudu. The prayer is not accepted without wudu. Anybody who pray without wudu, it will not be accepted. You have to go make wudu again and pray again. Barakallah fiq. And if you knew the hadith, in Allah la yaqbalu salata ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda, and this is even better. Wa idha kumtum bi salati faghsilu wujuhakum aydiyakum ila al-marafiq ila al-ayah. And this is even better if you can mention a verse or mention a hadith. But at least he knows the ruling, then he would tell him. He would tell him like this. And this is what he's intending here. مَنْ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا فَيُعَلِّمْهُ النَّاسِ. And then you can talk about it. If you have some sound knowledge about Al-Islam, or even anything in the dunya, likewise, you speak about it, alhamdulillah. You speak about it, alhamdulillah, in the realms of your knowledge. وَيَّهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا لَا يَعْمَ عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ. But beware of saying something that you have no knowledge of. And so therefore you speak about the issues, but according to your knowledge. According to your knowledge. You don't go past the boundaries of your knowledge. So if a person, he has sound knowledge and he's certain about that, he'll speak about it. And if he does not have knowledge, or if he's not certain about that, then he will not speak about it. Either he will say, "La adri," I don't know, go ask somebody else. Or maybe he'll say, "I'm not certain right now, let me just verify, inshallah I'll come back with you." Or if he'll say, "Actually this issue, I haven't reviewed it very well, let me review it and do some research and then I'll get back with you." All of this is allowed and good. And this has all been narrated from Shaykh Zayd Al-Madkhari, rahimahullah, and likewise Shaykh Ibn Baz and the likes of them, rahimahumullah, that they would do the likes of this. They would be asked questions and they would tell, "Give me a few days, I'll research the subject and I'll get back with you." Or they would say, for example, "Go ask somebody else, I don't know the answer to this one," or they just, "I don't know." So all of this is a way out from that. But إِيَّاكَ أَن تَقُولَ مَا لَا إِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ. But beware of saying that which you have no knowledge of. فَيَكُونَ مِنْ المتكلفين. وَيَمْرُكُ مِنَ الدِّينِ. Because at this time you'll be from those who make takalluf, and you're trying to pretend they have something they do not, trying to be something they are not, and trying to display to have something that they do not. And then he says, وَيَمْرُكُ مِنَ الدِّينِ يعني يَخْرُجُ مِنَ الدِّينِ. And meaning that this could be a means for a person to leave the religion. That he could be so bold that he will start speaking about Allah without knowledge, and he could say statements that in reality could be disbelief and lead him out of the religion. And this is an indication of the foul outcome that could come about because of speaking about Allah without knowledge. That it could lead a person to make statements that would take him out of the religion. That this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. So the author, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَمْرٍ مَرْفُوعًا. And in الصَّحِيحِ from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, يعني اسم بخاري المسلم, عن ابن عمر, يعني Abdullah ibn Amr, رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من قلوب الرجال ولكن يقبض العلم بموت العلماء حتى إذا لم يبقى عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا فضلوا وأضلوا. This is any from those amazing narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, specifically with regards to knowledge and the issue of knowledge. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that indeed Allah, he does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the people. يعني من قلوب الرجال يعني من صدور الناس. He does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the people. And this is because the knowledge, it is in the hearts of men. It's in the hearts of mankind. This knowledge is something that is carried. بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم. Rather the Quran, the legislation, the revelation, it is signs, evidence, and proofs that's in the hearts. It's in the hearts of the people who have been given knowledge. So this knowledge that's in the hearts of the people who have been given knowledge, they carry it in their breasts. They carry it in their breasts. And the true people of knowledge, likewise, it displayed. It's displayed. What's in their hearts is displayed in their tongues. It's displayed in their speech. It's displayed in their conduct. It's displayed in their manners. This knowledge here is not taken. It's not stripped from their hearts. It's not stripped from their hearts. لا يقبل العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من قلوب الرجال. Allah, He does not strip the knowledge. He does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the men. ولكن يقبل العلم بموت العلماء. But rather He takes the knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking the souls, yani by the death of the scholars. By the death of the scholars. So this is the way the knowledge goes away. The knowledge doesn't go away because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removes it from the hearts of the people. But rather, the people of knowledge, they will die. The people who carry the knowledge, the people who they carry the knowledge, they carry the revelation, yani they will die. And along with them, their knowledge will die. And this is an indication that the people in the end times, they will have no concern for knowledge. And their concern and care for knowledge will diminish and deplenish until the extent that a scholar will die and there will be no one to follow him and no one to replace him. And he asked for in the early generations, a scholar would die and he would leave behind a number of great students. A number of great students who had learned and memorized his knowledge and understood and benefited from him in a major manner. And they would carry his knowledge to those after him. And the likes like this, and from that the four imams, this is how their madhahib were spread until this day. Because even before them, there were other imams likewise who had madhahib. Sufyan al-Thawri, he had a madhahib. He had a madhahib. He has students, they're following him. Likewise, al-Awza'i, he had a madhahib. He had a madhahib, rahimahum Allah. And likewise, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, sahib al-Tafsir, he had a madhahib. He was an imam fi al-fiqh, wa fi al-lugha, fi tafsir, wa fi tariqh, wa al-hadith. But he had a madhab. He had a madhab like Abu Hanifa has a madhab, like Imam Malik has a madhab, rahimahum Allah. But Allah did not write for them to have students that carried on their madhab, that inscribed their statements and their opinions and their positions like this and teaching those behind them. As for these four imams, Allah had decreed that they would have students after them that had concern and care with their methodology and their way and their school of thought, and they inscribed that and they recorded that and they written that, and it was transmitted and carried until this day. And so those madahib, they died off, but these madahib, they stayed by the decree of Allah. The point is, yani, that in those generations, the people of knowledge, they will leave behind students behind them. They will leave behind fruits, great fruits, that would benefit and carry that knowledge and carry the banner of knowledge and the revelation and the sunnah after them. As for in the end days, then people will not have concern about the people of knowledge. They will not have concern for the people of knowledge until one of them will die, and there will be no one to replace him. And this is occurring now, and it hasn't occurred entirely, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, but no doubt it's happening. It's in the process. This is something that's seen. The people of knowledge are dying, and the people have no concern for knowledge in general. Although, alhamdulillah, in these days there is a new care in the ummah, people having concern for knowledge, but in general this is the case. The ummah has been in darkness with no concern with knowledge of the revelation. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, he clarified, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِلُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ مِنْ قُلُوبِ الرِّجَالِ. That indeed Allah, He does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the men. ولكن يقبل العلم بموت العلماء. But rather He takes the knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the death of the scholars. with the death of the people of knowledge. حتى إذا لم يبقى عالم, like this in one wording. Another wording has come, حتى إذا لم يبقى عالما, and like this, the meaning is similar. Until whenever there will not be one scholar remaining, or until this will incur and continue occurring until not one scholar remains, or this will occur in another wording until Allah, He does not leave one scholar remaining. Leave one scholar remaining. At this time, what would happen? اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا. At this time, the people, they would take their leaders. They would take the ignorant ones as their leaders. They would take the ignorant ones as their leaders. رؤوسا جهالا. They would take ignorant individuals as their leaders. And this is something that's happening today. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, he mentioned, Hafidhullah ta'ala, that even now we see that the people, they didn't even wait for the scholars to die. They didn't even wait for the people of knowledge to guide, brother. They're already hastening to take ignorant and fools as their leaders. This is something that we see in these days. And before, and alhamdulillah, the scholars are present. There are a number of upright and noble scholars, alhamdulillah. Although compared to the Muslims or compared to mankind, no doubt they're few. But alhamdulillah, there are a number of upright and noble, well-grounded scholars of the Sunnah alive today. Alive today. May Allah preserve them and allow us to benefit from their knowledge. Along with that, we see that many people don't know them, or do not take from them, or are not concerned with them, and they have taken in place of them رؤوسا جهالا. Even before Allah has not left a scholar remaining. Yani, this is a foul and a bad way. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says at this time, and the people, they would take the foolish and the ignorant as their leaders. فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And they will be asked any affairs in their religion, and they will give religious verdicts without knowledge. And they will give religious verdicts without knowledge at this time. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. And the two foul outcomes come from this with regards to them. So they will go astray and they will lead others astray. So they will go astray and they will lead others astray. It has been reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةَ الْمُضِلِّينَ. That which I fear most from my ummah are the misguided imams, yani ulama as-su, yani the people who ascribe to knowledge falsely, and they are misguided, and they are foul and on an evil way. They are misguided and they are foul and on an evil way. So this is something that is occurring now. The people of knowledge, no doubt, they are dying off. But alhamdulillah, the knowledge still remains, and the people of knowledge, they still remain as well. So this narration here is an indication of the importance of preserving the knowledge and having concern for knowledge and having concern for the scholars and the people of knowledge and honoring them and benefiting from them and benefiting from them and carrying that knowledge after them and spreading their knowledge after them and the likes like this, so that the knowledge, it will not go away. And likewise, in this narration, there's a warning. There's a warning from taking ignorance, the ignorant people as leaders and putting them in places of authority, taking the people who are ignorant, they're not known. They're not known for the proper creed and belief. They're not known for the proper understanding. They're not known for profound and proper Islamic knowledge, knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, knowledge of the methodology of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the likes like this. Taking people who have no knowledge of this, they're not known for this affair as leaders and putting them in places of authority and the likes like this. This is something that should be avoided and stayed away from. And this is from the signs of the end of the days. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.